And nobody else is doing it, only him. Everybody else is so poor. And they make him the shliach. And he goes around and around, here and there and everywhere, and everybody's poor, till finally he ends up at Reb Shimon's big, beautiful house. And Reb Shimon happily gave him all the money he needed. And Reb Shimon now is going to explain to Reb Reuven, why is it that I am so excited and happy to do the mitzvah of helping a yid? And now you're going to hear a very amazing story. Listen closely. Reb Shimon says, when I got married, I was very lucky to marry not only a wonderful girl, not only a wonderful Yiddish girl, but her father was very wealthy and he could give us money for a few years and I could sit and learn, and he paid all the bills and took care of everything we needed, even when we had our first baby and the second baby and even the third baby. Until one day I saw it is too difficult for my father-in-law to support the family, so I better go out to work. It was too difficult, so I have to now take care of my own family. What am I going to do? I took all the money I had, which at that time was 500 golden rubles, and I'm going to now try to make business. Not only you are going to stay with the same money, you want to make money. You want to figure out a way to keep making money. That's what business is all about, making money. Well, I went now to the big city of Lashkowitz. Over there was a big marketplace. I was never, ever in such a big marketplace. Everybody is buying and selling, and there's so much business everywhere. One person is selling pots and pans, somebody else is selling food, somebody else is selling jewelry, somebody else is selling donkeys, somebody else is selling goats and cows and milk and cheese and apples and potatoes and tomatoes and whatever you can imagine, people are selling and buying. And I think to myself, what am I going to buy with my money and start selling maybe somewhere else or going around? I have to think of a business for my family. And it was very noisy, much noisier than the lunchroom. And all of a sudden, in the noise, I heard a sound that was not louder than all the sounds, but it stuck in my head. The sound stuck in my ears and went into my head. And I'm trying to think, what is the sound that is like more important than all the other sounds I'm hearing? It's only a little sound, not a big loud sound. And he heard a woman crying. A woman crying. That's what he heard. In the midst of all of this buying and selling, he heard a lady crying. And he saw, by the side of the road, where all the people were going back and forth with business things, a Yiddish lady is crying with her hand out, begging for money. And next to her is a young Yiddish lady who's also crying, but she's not sticking her hand out. Both hands are on her head, crying. It looked like a mother and a daughter. So he hears now two voices crying. And he goes over, and he felt very bad for them. And he asked the mother, who had her hand out, what's the problem? I feel so bad for you that you're sitting by the side of the road with your hand out, begging. And she said, this is my daughter. She was supposed to get married. She was engaged. She had a wonderful chosn. But unfortunately, my husband passed away, and we had to use all of our money for other things, and there's no money left to pay for the chasne and all the things my daughter needs, and we have no money for her to get married. So she's not getting married because she doesn't have the money. It's so sad. And I'm begging just for money for us to live. And of course, with Hashem's help, someday I'll have enough money that my daughter should get married. I hope the chosn will wait for her. But how long can he wait? We have nothing. And Reb Shimon asked the lady, how much money do you need for your daughter? She says, we had 500 golden rubles, but it's all gone, every bit of it. If I had 500 golden rubles, that would be the money I need. It would be a miracle. How in the world can I have 500 golden rubles if I don't even have one? Shh. Kidalach. All of a sudden, Reb Shimon remembers, how much money does he have in his bag of money? Do you know how much? How much money does he have right now in his bag of money? How much money is there?
500.
500 golden rubles, which is, of course, all the money he has in the world for his family. But he thinks to himself, this woman needs the money more than I do. And he didn't even think too much more. He took out the money and he gave it to the lady. And all of a sudden, she's holding this bag of money. She could not believe it. She was so surprised. He gave her all of his money. Shh. And of course, she was so thankful, Kenalach. She must have thought he was a malach or Eliyahu Anavi or something. And he just walked away and said, use it, gesund to hate, and everything should be good. And he went now into the marketplace, and he doesn't have a penny in his pocket. And now, of course, he starts thinking about his own family, his own wife and kids. What's he going to do for them? He has to take care of them now. And he doesn't have a penny. How many boys also would have given the lady the money? Who would have kept the money for himself? Okay. The man gave the money. Shh. He is walking down the road of the marketplace. And all of a sudden, he sees a jewelry man. Oh, wants to buy beautiful necklaces and earrings and beautiful jewels. Come over here. And he saw this man was holding the most beautiful necklace he'd ever seen. This necklace was not a regular beautiful necklace. It was an extra special beautiful necklace made out of jewels. And he never saw such a thing before. Reb Shimon goes over to the jewelry man, and he's just looking at it. The jewelry man says, you like this necklace? You know how much it's worth? Well, if I sell it right here, I could make 1,000 rubles. But if I sell it somewhere else, not in the marketplace, if you go into the city away from the marketplace, you could make an extra 100 rubles. Shh. But I could sell it right now for 1,000 rubles. Would you like to buy it? Reb Shimon says, I'd love to buy it. Unfortunately, I don't have the money. Shh. And the jewelry man says, how would you like to make some money so you can buy good things? Reb Shimon says, that would be wonderful. I would love to make some money. So the jewelry man says, I tell you what. You look like an honest man. I will give you this necklace. You'll take it into the city, away from the marketplace. You'll go find a jewelry store, and you'll see if they'll give you more than 1,000 rubles. You'll sell it to the jewelry store, and you will bring back the money to me. Whatever money you make over 1,000 rubles, you'll keep, and you'll give me 1,000 rubles, because that's what I would want for the necklace. So let's say you sell it for 1,100. You get to keep the 100, and you give me the 1,000. That way you'll make some money. And if you don't sell it, you'll bring me back the necklace. I will trust you. How many boys understand what the jewelry man says? Reb Shimon took the beautiful necklace, and he goes way away from the marketplace. He goes into the city where there's different stores. And he goes into a jewelry store to a jewelry man. And the man sells jewelry, but he also buys things, because he wants to buy things he could sell it later for more money. And the jewelry man in the store says, "Yes, can I help you? You want to buy something?" He says, "Well, maybe you would like to buy a beautiful necklace, and you could sell it later for more money. Let me see it." "Oh, beautiful. This is a beautiful necklace. How much do you want for it?" "Well, I'll tell you, I'll sell it to you for 1,100 rubles. "Oh, okay, that's good. Here's the money." He gives him 1,100 rubles. The Yid now took the money. He goes back to the marketplace. He finds a jewelry man in the marketplace. He gives him 1,000 rubles. And now he's got 100 rubles. That's what he made from the deal. And the jewelry man says, "You did very good. How about you taking now 2 necklaces and go sell them in the city? And that way you can make some more money for yourself." Well, he took 2 necklaces and he went around different stores, and now he made another 200 rubles. How much money did he make today? 300 rubles. Okay. I think that we'll stop here and we'll continue, Mirz Hashem. I know we could finish tomorrow if the lunchroom will be quiet. Okay. The family is still in the dungeon. Even the baby. Reb Reuven tries to get the money. He goes far away. He does not sleep or eat. He wants to get the family out of the dungeon. He finds a rich man, Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon gives all the money that he needs with happiness and zrizus right away. And Reb Shimon says to Reb Reuven, "I want to tell you a story why I love to help people, and I want to help people as much as I can." And this is the story that he's telling. We're in the middle of the story, inside of a story. Reb Shimon says, he had taken his money, the 500 golden rubles, all the money that he had for his own family. He found the mother and the daughter crying and begging by the marketplace, and he gave them the money because they needed it more than he did, and he just could not see them suffer and cry. And he gave all the money, and now he had no money, zero money for his family. But he felt, of course, he had done the right thing. How many boys would have given that money to the poor lady and her daughter? You see how many boys would have given that money? And now, as he's walking away in the marketplace, He notices a beautiful necklace, beautiful jewelry that he just had never seen such a beautiful necklace. And the jewelry man of the marketplace gave him that necklace to go sell, and he would make some money selling it in another place. And he sold it. And he came back, and the jewelry man said, "That's very good. Here's two necklaces. Go sell these two necklaces. You'll pay me the money that each one is worth that I want. And if you make some more money on top of that, you keep it for yourself." And then he came back and he got three necklaces and four necklaces. And each necklace was 1,000 rubles, but he would sell it at different jewelry stores and to different people for a little bit more than 1,000 rubles. We're talking about very, very good jewelry over here. Until now, this went on for a few days. The jewelry man says, "Okay, you have shown that you're an excellent worker. I am now going to give you 20 necklaces. And each one is worth 1,000 rubles. Well, if you have 20 necklaces, and each one is worth 1,000 rubles, how much is all of that worth altogether? Let's talk about big money here.
20,000.
20,000 rubles. That's more rubles than anybody has in their pockets in this whole lunchroom, and even all the Rebbe's put together. More than 20,000 rubles. I'm sorry, 20,000 rubles. Yes, how many ices that would buy. And now he takes his 20 necklaces, and he goes all around, here and there, everywhere, and he sells the 20 necklaces, and not only he has 20,000 rubles, he has a lot more than 20,000 rubles, because each necklace he sold for a profit, a little bit more that he gets to keep. So let's just say he's got about 25,000 rubles, and now he's going to come back to give the money to the jewelry man that he has to give him. He has to give him 20,000 rubles, and he gets to keep the rest. Well, a strange thing happened. He comes to the marketplace. He goes to the jewelry man's store who keeps giving him these necklaces. And he does not see the store there. He does not see the store there. He comes to the place of the store. And wait a minute, where is the store and the jewelry man? He's not here. He was here this morning. That's strange. It's just completely gone. Huh. Well, maybe he closed up early or something and he took his store with him. Now, a store in those days wasn't necessarily a building that never moves. You can set up a kind of like a booth for yourself and you could take it apart. Well, maybe he had to go somewhere. Maybe, you know, he closed up his store and he waited around, you know. I mean, the jewelry man probably will come back. He's got to get his 20,000 rubles. And he waited around. Well, the jewelry man must have gone home. So maybe something happened. Well, I'll come back in the morning. And I'm sure he'll be there in the morning waiting for me. And he put away the 20,000 plus the extra rubles in a safe place. The next morning early, Reb Shimon comes to the place of the store, and there is no store, and there is no jewelry man. Oh, what happened? Maybe I'll ask the people in the stores next to the jewelry man. Maybe they know what happened. You know what? I'll ask the people in the stores next to the jewelry man, because there's a lot of little stores over there, and maybe he told them where he went. And he goes to the first store, right next door to the little place where the jewelry man had his store. Excuse me, do you know what happened to the jewelry man? I came back yesterday, he wasn't here. The man says, "What jewelry man?" "What do you mean, what jewelry man?" right next to your store was a store for a jewelry man, and he had all kinds of beautiful necklaces, and I kept coming back the whole week. The store right next door. Shh. And the man says, I'm sorry, but I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't have any store next door to me. The space was always empty over here. This is an empty space. Once in a while, somebody came to sell eggs over here, right? The Eggman used to come here sometimes, but the Eggman hasn't been here for about a week or two. And so it was empty. I mean, the Eggman sometimes shows up. And once in a while, his friend, the Potato Man, comes with a few bags of potatoes. So it's either the Eggman or the Potato Man. But actually, the last week, I didn't see anybody there, not the Eggman or the Potato Man. Now, you don't understand, the jewelry man was there the whole week. I was going the whole week selling necklaces, and I kept giving him money. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, that was strange. Maybe this man in this store is not exactly, with it. And he goes to the store on the other side of the jewelry man's place where he was. And there was a different store over there. Excuse me, do you know where the jewelry man is? I have to see him. I thought he would be there yesterday when I came, like he was the whole week, but he wasn't there. And the man in this store says, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. I never saw any jewelry man, only the egg man or the potato man, but they haven't been around for a while. What are you talking about, a jewelry man? I never saw a jewelry man there. Yeah, right next to you, a jewelry man. I was coming and going the whole week. I made a lot of money. I have a lot of money to give him. Shh. I'm sorry, but I never once saw anybody selling anything there except for eggs or potatoes. Shh. Kenilov, something strange is happening here. Shh. Reb Shimon has 20,000 plus about 5,000 rubles in his pocket from the necklaces, and he says, I wonder who I'm going to give it to. And he walked all around asking different people. Nobody had ever seen the jewelry man that was there every day that whole week. And Reb Shimon would go around and say, you know, he had a big turban. You know what a turban is? Like a big hat. And he had a long white beard. And he was pretty tall. And he was pretty old. And this is the jewelry man. No, I'm sorry. Reb Shimon now is telling Reb Reuven the story, right? And he says, no one ever saw him. I tried to find out who he was. No one ever even saw him. I would come back to Lashkowitz. I had to go home after all. I didn't know what to do with the money. I came to Lashkowitz every time there was a big market time, and I never saw the man. And I asked the Rav what to do. He said, it sounds like this jewelry man was not just a regular jewelry man. Do you know who that must have been? Could you figure out who that jewelry man was? Who do you think it was? Eliyahu Hanavi. Okay, this is the end of the story. Reb Shimon says, I took the money and I started a business because I had a lot of money. I had always planned to pay back Eliyahu Hanavi if I ever saw him again. I never saw him again. And in speaking with the Rav, we came up with a good plan that just like I got help from Eliyahu Hanavi and I became, Baruch Hashem, rich. I was able to take care of my family. I got helped and I was so thankful. So, the way to pay back Eliyahu Hanavi for that money is always to find people that I can help with my money, just like Eliyahu Hanavi, of course, as a shliach from Hashem, helped me with money. So I should pay it back by finding people that I should be able to help with money, and they would be able to get helped. And that's why, Reb Reuven, when you came today, collecting money for that family in the dungeon, I so quickly and happily gave you the money that I could help people. And so, Kinalach, of course, we learn from the story, always try to help a Yid. And if you're thankful to Hashem that He helped you in some way, the best way to pay Hashem back and thank Hashem is to help somebody else.